Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today's message was preached during a business luncheon held on the university campus. Our speaker is Dr. Gary Reimers, professor of Bible at BJU. The title of his message is A Biblical Perspective on Law Enforcement. The text is from the book of Romans.
Today our speaker is Dr. Gary Reimers. He's a member of our Bible faculty, and he's going to speak today a biblical perspective on law enforcement. Gary.
Great to be here today in this special occasion, honoring those that serve our community and, as we'll see from God's Word today, serve our Lord in law enforcement. My wife asked me just a few moments ago if I was going to be using any personal illustrations of encounters with law enforcement officials today. And from that very brief list of possibilities, thankfully, I was going to use one. There was one event probably about 12 or 14 years ago. We were living in New Hampshire. We were returning from a visit with some friends of ours in Portland, Maine, about an hour away. So we got off I-95, traveling about 65 miles an hour for the previous 45 minutes, and got onto another very wide, very long and straight and deserted road. Somehow my speedometer seemed to have gotten stuck on the same speed I was traveling on the interstate. Ordinarily, that was all right because we were driving a 1986 Chevy Caprice, which looked just about like what every state trooper was driving as well. It wasn't unusual to have other people slow down when they saw us approaching. Now, on this occasion, though, the blue lights began to flash, and we had three young girls in the back seat that just about went into hysterics, convinced that their dad was going to go to jail. We pulled over, and the officer very kindly asked me if I knew how fast I was going. And I said, well, unfortunately, I had to admit that I did. You see, the Boston Celtics were on television, and I was going to be late for the tip-off if I didn't get home. And, you know, that's very important that that part of the country, and at that period of time, 1986, or 87, the Celtics were doing pretty well. Well, he wasn't impressed with that. And I have to admit, as he went back to his car and I had a few minutes to think, I honestly wished that he wasn't there. I did not have a good attitude toward law enforcement at that moment. I had no excuse. He was right. What he was about to do was the right thing for him to do. I think it's not very uncommon for us to have unfortunately, a negative, and I'm going to admit this, even with law enforcement officials here, there are times that we wish you were not here. But those times and that attitude does not please the Lord. There's a right perspective on law enforcement. It's the one that comes not from our natural response, but it comes from the instruction of God's Word. I know you probably don't have a copy of God's Word with you while you're eating and enjoying your dessert, but that's all right. I'm going to read a few verses for you. They come from Romans chapter 13, and that really is the subject of this passage. It's really about government as a whole and our response to governmental authority, but government shows itself most often in law enforcement. That's the part of government that we see. It's the part of government that enforces its own laws, of course. In this passage, God lets us know it is not up to us to discern our own response to law enforcement. There is a right response and a wrong response. The wrong response is natural. We come to think of it as normal. But if God's Word says it's wrong, then it would be better for us to consider it abnormal and to seek God's grace today from His Word and the work of His Spirit in our hearts to change that attitude and to put ourselves in line with God's Word. This passage tells us very simply that God has ordained government and its law enforcement division. Those that serve in law enforcement are serving God. And our responsibility then is to submit to Him and to submit to them. The first two verses of this passage tell us that law officers receive God's support. In fact, He is responsible for their existence. God Himself claims the credit for providing the authority to law enforcement officials. And so He begins with this command, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." Here's why. Because there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Now, it doesn't matter that there are no doubt many police officers who never thought about the fact that God has ordained the authority that they bear. You know who writes your paycheck. You know who your supervisor is. According to this passage, ultimately, your supervisor is none other than God Himself. God has established the authority of law enforcement. He has appointed the officers who will wield that authority, and God has empowered those who have that authority. And furthermore, God stands behind that authority. In the wider view of government at large, it really doesn't matter how government comes to be an authority. There are some governments that are an authority because of military might. There are others that are an authority because of heredity. Their dad was king, and so now they will be king. There are others that were elected. But no matter what the method of achieving authority, God is the one responsible for it. I think this is true in the country of Iraq. When Saddam Hussein was in charge, he was there because God allowed him that position. When he was removed from that office, that removal could not have taken place except that God had ordained the removal. And the new government that is currently in place and still forming in that country, God is behind that as well. And so for every official that enforces any governmental authority. God not only provides that authority, but in verse 2, God enforces the authority. Verse 2 says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." Why does God have to say this? Wouldn't it be enough that God just tell us that He has established law enforcement and has told us then to be subject? Wouldn't He then just be able to assume that we're all going to do the right thing and submit to those authorities? Well, see, God knows us better than that. God knows what we are in our sinful nature. He knows that it is our desire, it is our intent, an intent that we'll seldom admit to others. But it is our intent to get away with what we can. And God has established law enforcement so that we will not get away with anything that is wrong in His sight. So that the one that resists the power that God has put in place is actually in rebellion against the program of God itself. God set up this arrangement to resist and to try to hide from those that are in law enforcement is to resist and rebel against God Himself. And God has ordained that there are consequences for doing that. They that resist, He says, shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, there are two ways of taking that word damnation. There is a short view and a long view. And I think Paul includes both of them as he wrote this passage. The long view is that ultimately there are consequences for resisting God. If you resist God to the end of your life, there is only one destiny in store. To resist God is to choose to spend eternity in hell. And damnation says that very well. In the shorter view, there are also consequences for resisting God from day to day. The consequences are that God knows how to discipline, and that in this particular context, in our setting today, God has at His disposal law officers for the purpose of administering His discipline. In that sense, damnation doesn't have the finality to it, but describes for us the judgment that comes, the adverse judgment, ranging anywhere from a ticket and a fine that you need to pay, to time spent in prison, paying for what is ultimately rebellion against God. And so God enforces the authority that He has provided to law enforcement. The next three verses, 3-5, law officers uphold God's standards. Yes, the government sets the laws, but because God is sovereign and is supervising all of that, the laws that officers enforce are, in fact, God's standards. Verse 3, they support those who are doing good. They are the friend, the helper of those who choose the right thing. Here's how he says it in verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power, the authority of law enforcement? Then do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. That's a good choice to make. To decide that it is uncomfortable to be afraid of what a policeman might do should he see what you are doing at any particular time, the choice is to change your activity. Their presence is not fearful for those that have nothing to hide. In fact, in the very next verse, their service is beneficial. It says that he, the law enforcement officer, is the minister of God to thee for good. Whose good? Your good. God has your good in mind when He established law enforcement and placed law officers in various places of our community. It is for the good of people, because it is good for people, beneficial for you, to choose to do the right thing. It is good because that pleases God. And the law officer, as this says, is the minister, the servant of God. For our law officials today, have you ever considered that you are in the ministry? Mr. Goldsmith identified my position here on campus, a professor in the seminary. I'm also a pastor of a church. And we often regard those that are pastors of churches, well, they are in the ministry. According to God's word, law enforcement is also the ministry of God. It is enforcing the standards that God has ordained, and it is a beneficial service, a pleasurable service, doing good for people who do the right thing. It is for our advantage that we have law enforcement. On the other hand, the last part of verse 4 into verse 5, they pursue those that are bad, because that's what God wants them to do. He says, if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. You have cause to be afraid if you're doing the wrong thing, for he, the law enforcement official, beareth not the sword in vain. Now, I didn't see any sabers rattling as the officers were standing up being introduced. They don't literally carry swords in our day. They did in Paul's day. They have other means of carrying out God's will. And we need to know that they carry the gun not in vain. They have the radar gun not in vain. And again, he says, for he is the minister of God, the servant of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now, that is not to say that it is okay for law officers to be angry as they're carrying out their duties. It is not your wrath you are carrying out. You are not executing your wrath. It is God's wrath. And better not to be angry as you're administering God's wrath. It can cloud your judgment. But there's no question it is God's wrath that you are executing. God is justly angry with sin, which is exactly why God attaches the penalty of eternity in hell for sin. A penalty that every single one of us in this room deserve for our rebellion against God. And a penalty that anyone in this room can avert by one means only: faith in Jesus Christ, who endured that penalty in our place. Christ himself endured the wrath of God so that we might have the forgiveness of sin. The distinction in these few verses between those who do what is good and those who do evil. For those that do good, no cause for fear. For those that do evil, actually the command of God's word, you'd better be afraid. I was quite afraid that Friday evening in Maine years ago. I was shaken. I was not used to being stopped. In fact, some are going to question the sincerity of this next statement, but I can tell you honestly, it is the only time in my life I have ever been stopped for speeding. I am not claiming it's the only time I should have been stopped for speeding. But it did communicate to me, I don't like being afraid. I didn't like the impact it had on my three young children in the back seat. They were wailing in the back seat. I had to tell them, please be quiet, the officer is coming. And they had to try to stifle the cries. Just a few years ago, there was another instance in which I saw blue lights in the rearview mirror. And immediately, I only had one daughter with me on this occasion, and, Dad, what did you do? And I can honestly say, I didn't do anything. I haven't done anything wrong. This is going to be all right. I was stopped at a red light. I mean, what could I have done sitting there at the red light? So we went through the intersection around the corner, and she still wasn't quite convinced. I said, no, honestly, there isn't anything wrong here. There must be some mistake or something I need to know. We pulled off, and the officer said, I need to see your registration because you don't have the current sticker on the back of your car and your license plate. And, well, all right, see my daughter. See, you didn't pay your taxes, Dad? But no, I know. I'm up to date on that. I know the sticker's there. And so I could show the registration has the right date. She says, well, you want to take a look? There's the wrong sticker on there. That was the first time I ever found out that people actually steal the stickers off of license plates. And I was told at that point, one nice trick to do is when you put it on, take a razor blade and slice it up a few times. So if they try to take it off, they only get a little piece. And hopefully they'll give up on the rest. Actually, I've never tried that, but that's that was what the officer... It must be right, because the officer said. But it was a whole different experience on that occasion. Same uniform, same lights. But when you've not broken the law, there is no cause to fear. Now, that's true in our country. In some countries, it's not. We have a country where the law enforcement agency actually upholds the law and does not take law into their own hands. In our country, we are greatly blessed with the law enforcement God has provided for us. All that being true, verses 6 and 7 close this passage. Well, I don't think I read verse 5 yet. Let me not skip that. Verse 5 says, wherefore ye must needs be subject. Here he's repeating the main theme, the main exhortation. You must submit yourselves to law enforcement, not only for wrath, not just to avoid the wrath of God, but also for conscience' sake. You know, the conscience goes with us even when the police are not around. The conscience, God's tool that reminds us you are doing the wrong thing right now. And the conscience can make us miserable. The blue light can make us very upset. Better to respond to the conscience first before the policeman has to turn on his light. Now, verses 6 and 7, law officers are performing God's service and therefore deserve your support. In verse 6, he says, For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers. There is the third time he has said they are the servants of God. Pay tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. A spiritual ministry they are performing, and they are dedicated to that responsibility. They are on duty all the time. They have a little different custom in some countries of Eastern Europe, Poland in particular. You see a police car, and if the police car's lights are not turned on, they are not on duty. Might not even be in uniform. The lights are always on when the police are on duty there. I think I like our system better. They're on duty all the time. They are always ready to serve. Because they're always serving, the admonition here is quite literally, don't complain about the taxes you have to pay in order to provide their salary, training, and equipment. God says, I've appointed them to their job, and I've designated you, the beneficiaries of that job, to make sure that they can focus their attention on carrying out their responsibility. There was a small town in southern Maine while we lived up there that decided they were facing a lot of budget crises all at one time, and they actually made the decision to cut the budget of the police department completely. They eliminated the police department. And everybody's all upset about it, especially the county, because they knew that it was going to be their responsibility, and they started sending bills. And they found out they weren't saving money anyway. It was a bad experiment. Didn't work very well, and it was unbiblical. God says, cut your budget somewhere else. Don't cut the budget here, and don't try to trim back your taxes illegally, because your taxes are going to provide the very service that God has said is necessary. The last verse closes with a thought, not only do they deserve your support, but God demands it, and he places this in the form of a command. Render, therefore, to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom. Those are two different forms of taxes. Our country has devised more than two different forms, but as many as there are, God says, pay the taxes you are due to support God's servants. Then he says, render fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Law enforcement, by God's decree, deserves the respect of God's people. That's a command from God, not an option for us. So pay the respect that is due. Now, with every exhortation of God's word, we have to remember it is beyond our personal ability to put this into practice. We haven't come here today to open God's word just so I'll say, yes, all right, that's what I need to do, so I'll try harder. Trying harder in the history of mankind has never helped. It has never been enough. It's not enough just to try harder. What this passage calls for is for us to recognize, I need a better response to law enforcement than I can give myself. I need God's help. I think the right response to God's word for each of us today is, Lord, would you help me to have a right response to the officers of the law that you have ordained? It's a corollary to that as well. For those here that are in the ministry of law enforcement, realize that you do not have the ability to carry out this huge responsibility you have on your shoulders in your own strength? What hope do you have of fulfilling your responsibility before God with equity, with completeness, fairness? The only hope is for you to seek God's help, for you to entreat the grace of God, asking Him for the grace that you need to diligently serve Him in this very important ministry opportunity. To be their best, law enforcement must depend upon Jesus Christ. Of course, what a shame it would be for those who execute the wrath of God in this life to have to endure the wrath of God in the next life. Law enforcement officers not only need to receive the grace of God to fulfill their ministry, they need the grace of God for their own salvation. I'd like to close this afternoon by urging both those in law enforcement and those that benefit from it, submit to Jesus Christ and the saving grace that He offers. He'll forgive every sin you've forgiven, even those you never got a ticket for. He'll forgive every sin, and He'll give you the grace to do the right thing. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that You offer to us not only the instruction of Your Word, not only the benefit of government and law enforcement to help us do what is right. Father, we thank You that You also provide for us forgiveness of sin and grace to change. Father, we pray that for anyone here today without a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that the Spirit of God would actively work in bringing conviction and grant repentance and faith to believe. Father, help us as we strive to submit to You and to respect and honor and obey those that You have placed in authority over us. We thank You for them, and we thank You for Your Son who makes this possible.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Gary Reimers, professor of Bible at BJU. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.